Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Kim Clijsters, yeah, she was my idol. Like, I wanted to be like.
But she was
Kim
a hardcore, Clijster. Mainly a hardcore player, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. So was I.
Yeah. Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Now it's Women's Gaelic Football semi-finals this weekend as well. Dublin play Galway and Kerry play Meath. Delighted to be joined on the line by Ciara Trant and Rachel Sheehan. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning,
Ciara,
lads.
I might start with yourself, Ciara, on this. We were just joined by Seamus Flanagan. And at the end of our chat there, Ciara, we were asking about what it's like to walk behind the Artane Boys band in the parade just before an All-Ireland final. And fascinated to know what goes through the heads of those players involved. Can you give us your own insight into what it's like?
I loved it. Oh, like, I love the pageantry. Like, when you're younger, actually not even when you're younger now, when you're watching games, it's the anthems, the parade, like, across all sports, when GAA, you throw in the parade as well, the fanfare, like, that's what you dream of when you're imagining, oh, I want to play in Croke Park when I'm older, I want to play in All-Ireland finals and win. It's the before and after is what you're imagining. And you'll see, you know, some players take it really seriously and are trying to focus. Other players are soaking it in and looking around. And it's just, you're very lucky that, okay, your team is in the All-Ireland final, but you're one of 30 players that year that get to march behind the Artane band. And that's the pinnacle of the game is doing that walk, that lap. And yeah, I actually thought they'd walk faster. When I first got to walk behind them. And then I was delighted how slow they went because I was like, this is taking longer. This is class. I get to do this for a couple more minutes.
Look, it sounds like you really embraced it and enjoyed it because Seamus Flanagan was saying to us, he just kept his eye on the back of Aaron Gillan's head because he wanted something to focus on. But it sounded like you were able to look around and take in your surroundings ahead of, you know, the biggest moment of the year.
The first year we made it to the final and I was starting, I was very focused and I was like, don't get distracted by anyone in the crowd and don't do anything but, you know, that Seamus Flanagan approach. But the following years, I did kind of soak it in and I did look for my family, you know, when you turned left to go across Hill 16, looking over to the Hogan, I was kind of trying to pick out where my family were. And look, it's rare and it's special and ladies football doesn't fill Croke Park every weekend. And I was playing at a time when the Dublin men's were getting a full house, you know, whenever they played in Croke Park. So it's your one opportunity. You may never kind of get it again. And I kind of learned to enjoy it and soak it in and kind of see as much of it from my view on the pitch as I could because I'll be looking down on it the next time perhaps.
It's a double bill at Glenisk O'Connor Park this weekend for those two semi-finals. So at 5:15, Kerry Meath throw in, and then 7:30, it's Dublin against Galway. Rachel, I might bring you in here. It was a very upsetting day at the office for Cork against Dublin last time out. 3:15 to 7 points they went down.
Yeah, it was. It's the hope that kills you, Colm, you know.
Absolutely.
I went in pretty hopeful at that. Like the first half Cork played against Kerry in the group stages, they were like a new team. You know, we hadn't seen a Cork performance like that in a couple of years. So yeah, filled me with hope, but Dublin just absolutely dismantled them, really, didn't they? Like, I saw Dublin playing Waterford in the first round of the championship this year, and I thought they looked really vulnerable. You know, they were struggling in the forwards. They were kind of kicking long ball from the midfield into that isolated full forward line, and it wasn't working for them. And I thought, like, maybe this isn't the Dublin team that we've known, but they haven't looked back since. Mm. You know, they absolutely decimated Leitrim, and they made short work of Cork. Even though Cork brought it to within three just after halftime, like Dublin scored eight in a row then uncontested and they always looked in control. And I think the most worrying thing from a Galway perspective is none of the Dublin players seem very happy with the performance. Carla Rose interviewed afterwards and she said, we've got plenty more in the tank. And even Paul Casey said that there was a lot of aspects of that performance that they weren't happy with. So if you're not happy with a quarterfinal performance like that, I'll be a bit fearful of what they're expecting and what they're seeing in training themselves.
Well, look, we still have to talk about Kerry, who were the defending champions. Galway were runners-up last year, but I'll ask you, as the objective pundit of the two here, Rachel, would you be fearful for the others when it comes to Dublin at the moment? Hannah Tyrrell was unbelievable last time and as well scored as well.
Yeah, I think Dublin are, at the moment, the ones to beat. Hannah Tira is always going to be good, and she rescued that game for them against Waterford the first day. You know, she took control of it. But not only, it's not that you just have to worry about Hannah. Kate Sullivan is having an incredible year. You know, she got that score on the Hooter in the first game to save it for them. Scored a hat-trick against Leitrim and got player of the match against Cork last weekend, scoring 1-3. You know, she's just a threat. She's so accurate. Her movement is great. So if you're focusing on Hannah Tyrrell, you can't take your eyes off Kate Sullivan for a second either.
What do you think, Ciara? Dublin's chances?
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the four teams left, it's definitely Dublin are the form team. And I think from playing, there's always a moment every year where you string a performance together and that kind of kickstarts your championship. And I thought, like, go on to talk about Kerry, but I thought their second half against Cork was kind of the spark for them, and it didn't kind of materialise. You know, they've been flat and inconsistent. But from a Dublin point of view, getting over the line against Waterford, they got a bit of momentum. They backed it up, I know, against Leitrim comfortably. But to go in against Cork, big rivals, and kind of that was the test to prove themselves. We're either in this All-Ireland Championship or we're not. We have to show up today. And they did. And like that's they've carried momentum. They've gained it. The tails will be up now. And yeah, I think Kerry and Meath will be happy they're not coming up against the Dubs. But Galway also now have to prove themselves. And, you know, if you've to win an All-Ireland, you have to beat the most informed team left in the competition. And I just think Dublin will have too much. You talk about Kate Sullivan. She's flying. Like, they brought Caoimhe O'Connor off the bench. You know, she's starting most teams to finish the game. I think Niamh Heatherton is having the season of her life this year. And you've got Hannah Tyrrell just to sit in the pocket, pop scores. Penalties, I don't think she's missed one this year, like freeze from everywhere. So, you know, Dublin had that massive performance against Cork without Carla Rowe and Laura McGee, and it didn't, you know, nobody's talking about that now because of how everyone else stepped up. So Galway be very, very wary. But yeah, definitely I'm delighted now to be back in the Dubs.
It's the Heatherton summer in Dublin GA. The Galway team have come in for criticism for the conservative style of play that they have. Is there any possibility they throw off the shackles, Ciara, and try and go and attack? Because we keep hearing that they have one of the best attacking units in the country.
Yeah, they do. And I think last year they found a great balance between their running game and their kicking game. Possibly they've lost that a little bit this year, but I think there's a performance in the bank for them. Like, they've gone through Division 2, kind of sauntered through it. Connacht wasn't that competitive for them. You know, they had an easy enough draw in the group stages. So, you know, they haven't really been challenged too much compared to the likes of Dublin. So, you know, I think they're just waiting for a big challenge. They're waiting for a big test. And playing Galway, they've always loved hard work. Really, really loved hard work, especially through the middle. So I don't think I wouldn't write them off. Definitely not. I know they're not as attacking, but there's players there that have the capabilities, and why not run straight at Dublin? Like go for it.
Both these games are on TG Cahir. With no men's getting football this weekend, Ciara, is it an opportunity here for the LGFA to really promote this? Like, we're only 2 days out now, given that, but even the last 48 hours or so, can they promote this further to let people know that these are games that definitely should be watched? Because Dublin Galway is kind of hard to call almost.
Yeah, it is. And I would say Meath and Kerry, yeah, to an extent. Like, if Kerry have been playing the way they have been playing, Meath are in with a shout. Like, they need to pull up their socks and perform. Yeah, I saw a video during the week, and it was the Dublin chairperson calling for people to travel down to the game, which I think is in a sad kind of state of affairs when you're relying on that kind of publicity. Looking through the papers during the week, it's all hurling, like pages and pages and pages of hurling, and rightly so. Like, I don't know what else can be done, but this is our opportunity. People sit down on a Saturday afternoon. Wimbledon's finished now. You know, they'll be competing with the women's Euros and probably the golf. So yeah, they should have the full GAA audience there. So hopefully people have nothing better to do. Hopefully the weather's bad and people are stuck at home and have no choice but to stick it on, kind of. But I haven't heard much hype against about the games, but still early in the week, kind of. So it might build a bit of momentum for today and tomorrow.
What can be done, Rachel?
I think, well, having him in Tullamore is a great shout. You know, you're going to be looking at fuller stadiums rather than having him in Croke Park, you know. More likely that people will travel. It's just unlucky the way it's falling. If you're looking at the LGFA and what can be done, take the finals away from the bank holiday weekend. I think that's one of the easiest solutions. You know, you're competing with the likes of everyone going away from bank holiday weekend all together now. You know, I don't know a young person in the country that probably isn't going. So I think start there. And also, I saw Nadine Doherty had a piece in the Indo this week talking about that at the moment, maybe the brand of football that's being played in ladies football isn't conducive to getting viewers in compared to the men's game that's having that renaissance at the moment. Whereas 5-6 years ago, you would have been saying, don't mind watching the men's game. It's so boring. It's so conservative. There's absolutely cracking games happening all the time here. So it's pretty multifaceted. It's not just scheduling. I think you need to take a look at those rule changes that we have been talking about as well to make the games more exciting. Now, these two games at the weekend will be good. You know, we've had a lot of non-games so far this year, I think, with weaker sides coming up, but they are both hard to call.
Would the game benefit from the rule changes we've seen the past 12 months in the men's side?
Yeah. I mean, myself and Kira have talked about this before anyway. Definitely the two-pointer is probably not as important, but the freeze, just going to be able to go quick off the freeze. And I know Kira will agree, taking the kick out a bit easier and having to have three in the back line all the time.
We said we talked about Kerry, and I'm wondering, Kira, from what you've seen of them so far this year, have they come on again from last year? They look stronger, because you talk about, say, the quarterfinal victory over Kildare was substantial, 3-12 to 11 points. Sheaf O'Shea scored a hat-trick, but they kind of have options from everywhere as well.
Yeah, well, at the same time, I don't think this scoreline kind of reflected what that game was actually like. Like, they were 4 points down at the start of the match to Kildare. And Kildare missed a lot of goal opportunities. Like, it could have been a completely different game. I think Kerry, are they saving themselves, like, subconsciously? Possibly a little bit. Like, you can only play what's in front of you. Like, they pulled it out of a bag against Cork when they had to. Look, they're coming up against a Meath side that are very defensive. So the only way to beat Meath's retreat is to get the ball there before they can get back. And that's what Kerry are really, really good at. You know, get the ball into Sheaf O'Shea. You have girls that can deliver the ball in. But I just thought, you know, in terms of individual performances, they haven't... individual players haven't sparked like they have in previous years. Maybe that's a little bit of experience, maybe a little bit of a different style of play slightly under a new management, but I'm expecting a lot more from Kerry, and maybe they're waiting for a bigger test for it.
Rachel, what can Meath do to upset the odds here?
I think, unfortunately, yeah, play defensive. Like, it's been their go-to all year. And when Kerry came alive in that second half against Cork and they scored those goals, it was 1-2s. Sheaf O'Shea, Danielle O'Leary, Rachel O'Dwyer, they were all pretty much carbon copies of each other. So if Meath can break that down, like, their reliance on Sheaf O'Shea, it's brilliant. She's an outstanding player, but it has to be a bit of a worry for them. You know, when you look at the likes of the spread that even Galway and Dublin have, Meath probably rely a lot, obviously, on Emma Duggan as well. But if you can isolate Sheaf O'Shea, which is no easy task, I think you can shut Kerry down a bit easier.
I mean, essentially what Meads need to do is get the ball early and often to Vicky Wall, right?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, like, and run at them. But if she's playing centre forward, she's coming up against Emma Costello, who's back in the team after having a child. And I played club football with her for a few years, and She's born again this year. Like, she's controlling everything Kerry do. She's kind of like Paul Scholes. She sits behind the play and calls the shots. And, you know, I'd love to see them two come up against each other. Like, I really hope Emma's marking Vicky. because there's a battle you want to see. But I think Niamh Glogley is having a great game for a great year for Meath around midfield. So they have to keep an eye on her as well. But yeah, I think Meath are too reliant on that counter-attack style football. And I just think Kerry have the players just to nullify that. And look, Vicky will take the game to them. She will score. She will, you know, create moments that can change the game. But I think compared to other years, herself and Emma and Niamh Glogley are a little bit more isolated. Like Aveen Cleary, we should be getting a little bit more ahead of her as well. And I just think Meath, they just haven't got it in the tank probably. Compared to previous years. So I think it's a Kerry one, and being too reliant on Vicky, like even us having this conversation about her kind of tells a lot about, you know, how great she is, but how reliant on her Meath are to change the game and control the game.
Okay, so to wrap, any argument at all against a Dublin-Kerry final?
Nope.
I don't care. Kerry have been so inconsistent. You know, they, as Kira said, they haven't really pulled a full 60-minute performance together yet. They might have said they did against Kildare, but they still went 4 points down against a Kildare side that were doing really well to get where they were. So it's no guarantee. I think we'll definitely see Dublin, but I think it's no guarantee that we'll see Kerry there. Meath could surprise them.
Kira Tran, Rachel Sheehan, superb stuff. Enjoy the semi-finals.
Cheers, folks.
That was our preview of the All-Ireland Women's Senior Football semi-finals this weekend, taking place Glenisk O'Connor Park, doubleheader on Saturday, 5:15 p.m. Kerry versus Meath, and then at 7:30, Dublin and Galway throw in.